Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Mem Tes. We will begin on Daf Mem Tes Saman Aleph at the new perek. The subject of our perek is a concept that we've discussed previously. The Nedarim Holchem Acha Loshem Nei Adam. When we speak about Nedarim, we follow the way people talk, the way people articulate themselves. And therefore says the Mishnah, Hanoidim Enam Avoshel. If somebody makes a neder, he's not going to have benefit from something which is cooked. What's included in cooked and what's not included in cooked? Says the Mishnah. He's not obviously allowed to eat or benefit from any cooked food. But mutter, he may benefit from tzli, or roasted foods, and sholok. So it's interesting to note, throughout Shas, when we have the word sholok, a very common word, the definition of sholok means something that's overcooked. And some Rishonim explain sholok in our Mishnah that way too. The Ran, however, says here sholok can't mean overcooked. For he says that something which is overcooked is cooked. And why, if I may not benefit from a vushel, should overcooked food not be included? Therefore, here he says sholok means undercooked. There are other Rishonim that explain sholok means food that are cooked with other ingredients besides the actual food and water. And that's considered sholok. Continues the Mishnah. Amar koinem tafshol she'eni toyim. If somebody said the words, I'm not going to benefit from tafshol. Also b'mais g'day rach. He may not eat foods that are loose, a loose composition. Umutta ba'ava. But he may eat foods that have a thick composition. As we're going to learn in the Gemara Suna Mitzah Hashem, when somebody uses the words tafshol, our Gemara explains that the Mishnah means to say that if it's a food that's eaten with bread, then it's considered in the category of tafshol. So if it's a loose composition, you'll eat it together with your bread. You'll stick your bread in it, you'll pour it on your bread. But if it's something that's a solid, it's not eaten together with bread, and therefore it's not in the category of tafshol. There's a machlokes rishonim, based on a Yerushalmi, that when the Mishnah uses the words mevushel, the first case of the Mishnah, and we said that a tzli and sholok are not included, does it also have to have that categorization, that the only thing that's included in mevushel are liquidy items, not solid items? Some Rishonim say tafshol and mevushel are two different dinim, and the mevushel, this dichotomy that our Mishnah just presented in differentiating between something that has a loose composition versus solid composition, only is by mevushel, not by is only by tafshel, not by mevushel. Other Rishonim, that's the way it seems that the Ran learns, that this rule that we differentiate between loose food and solid food that applies to tafshel also applies to mevushel. Umutter, but if somebody says he's not going to eat tafshel, he's allowed to eat the beya tarmita and the las haramutza, which in Mitzvah Shem, in tomorrow's shir, we'll explain what they are. Says the Mishnah further, if somebody says he's not going to eat something which is in the category of Maisa Gedera, says the Mishnah, the only thing he may not eat is something which is cooked a lot. Omar, but if it's cooked, but it's not cooked a lot, then it's not included. However, Omar koinem hayoyred l'kedera she'eni toyim, he used the words hayoyred l'kedera, then the halacha is also b'chol avdav shilin shebekedera, anything that's cooked in a pot is asur. Tanya, Rav Yoshia Oysa, begins the Gemara with teaching us that Rav Yoshia says that if somebody uses the words mevushel, then it does also include a roasted food. Our Mishnah says that roasted foods are not included in the category of mevushel. The Brisa Rav Yoshia quotes says it is included. Vabish and Raila Dover, says the Gemara, even though we don't have a pasuk teaching us, we have a zechel davar, we have some sort of an asmachta. Shinama vivashlu es a pesach be'esh kemishpat. They cook the carbon pesach, and we know the carbon pesach is a carbon that's roasted, and in the pasuk in Divrei Yomim calls it vayivashlu. They cooked it, so we clearly see that something that's tzli, something that's roasted, is called vayivashlu. Asks Rabbi Kivega on the Amid, in the Gilyan Hashas, that why does the Gemara have to quote a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim? There's a pasuk in the Torah, Vishalta Vachalta. When the Torah describes the Korban Pesach, which we know has to be roasted, it says b'shalta v'achalta. So why would the Gemara rather bring a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim? There are a number of terutzim given to this question. One terutz given to this question is because this pasuk is a little more explicit. This pasuk uses the words be'esh. So it shows that even though we're mamish roasting it on fire, and it's still considered vayivashl. Another terutz that's given is that vayivashlu es ha-pesach be'esh, the pasuk of v'shalta v'chalta, one would think is referring to the other kabbonis. We know that in the night of Pesach we also bring a karmel chagiga. We have to eat a karmel chagiga by the Seder. So maybe the karmel chagiga is cooked. We don't know anything regarding the karmel Pesach, which is, and that is indeed cooked. I will say that the pasuk of b'shalta v'chalta is talking about the karmel chagiga, not about the karmel Pesach. That's why this pasuk, which clearly speaks about the karmel Pesach, because the pasuk says v'yivashlu ha-Pesach, there's no room for any misunderstanding. Another pshat is that the Chasam Sofer says this teretz, that if we only had the pasuk of v'shalta v'chalta, we would think that in the year that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the din was that the Korban Pesach had to be roasted. But maybe in future years, the Korban Pesach doesn't have to be prepared through roasting. It could be even prepared through cooking. And that's what the pasuk of v'shalta v'chalta teaches us. You could cook it. How do we know that it must be roasted? This pasuk says ba'esh, it must be roasted. Another teretz we'll give, there are other terutzim, but we'll stick to four terutzim, is the following. Many times in Shas and Halacha, when we speak about roasted foods, there are two types of roasted foods. There's something called Tzli'esh and something called Tzli'keder, which anybody who cooks food could relate to. Tzli'esh is a barbecue. There's nothing between the food and the fire, a barbecue. Tzli'keder is something roasted, but it's roasted keder in a pot. This is the way most roasts are prepared. That it's put into a pot, it's not directly on a fire, but it gets cooked from its own juices. If we only had the pasuk of v'shalta v'achalta, we might think that the Korban Pesach could be prepared even with a tzli keder. It doesn't have to be over a spit. This pasuk that uses the words be'esh is a lot clearer that it needs this type of barbecuing directly over the fire. So, in other words, our Mishnah says that when somebody says the word mevushal, tzli, roasting, is not included, Rabbi Yishai says tzli is included. Suggest the Gemara, lein v'hokimifki, what is the basis of the machlokes between the Mishnah and Rabbi Yishai? The Rabbi Yishai saw a whole chachalosh and Torah. That since the Torah includes tzli in the category of mevushal, so we follow that terminology. The Tanan Delon, Sover, in the town of our Mishnah holds, Menudarim Holach Achalosh Mnei Adam. We follow the way people speak. And people, when they speak, don't call, when they say Mevushal, they only mean something cooked, not something roasted. And as we get deeper into the Gemara, we may be thinking, a very important Gemara, but how does it relate to us? So the Pesachim say it's very related to us. It says in Shulchan Aruch that by the Suda Mafsekis, on Erev Tishbav, you're not supposed to eat two tafshilim. The custom most people have is by the Suda Mafsekis, they eat bread and hard-boiled egg. So first of all, why is that not considered two tafshilim? Because bread is baked and egg is boiled. So just like our Mishnah says, the tafshil doesn't include anything that's prepared. A baked food is certainly not considered a tafshil. That's why you can eat bread and an egg, and it will not be considered that you violated the rule that you're not allowed to eat two tafshilin. But the question that comes up, a very common shaila, is can you drink a coffee? Can you drink a tea by the Suda Mafsekis? Is a coffee considered a tafshil? You boil the water to get a coffee, to get a tea. So is that considered a tafshil that if you wanted to drink a coffee or a tea by the Suda Mafsekis, you'd be violating the halacha of shtei tafshilin? Say most paiskim. Then when a person speaks about a tafshil, he speaks about a cooked food, he doesn't speak about a beverage, and therefore the halacha is that you may drink a hot coffee or hot tea, even if you're eating an egg and a piece of bread for the Suda Mafsekis on Erev Tishabav. So Gemara is suggesting that the machlokes we have now is do we follow Lashon Torah or Lashon Bnei Adam? Says Gemara, loy. The kul alma v'nedarim halacha ach Lashon Bnei Adam. As we've been saying, by nedarim, one of the fundamental halachas is that we always follow Lashon Bnei Adam. However, ma'ki asrei or ma'ki asrei. It depends how you speak. But asr the tan delon, the tan of our Mishnah, litzli karli tzli, or mavushal karli mavushal. A cooked food is called mavushal, a roasted food is called roasted. And that's why the halacha is that if you said mavushal, tzli is not included. However, but asr the Rabbi Ishia, a filu tzli kar mavushal. In his place, when somebody spoke about a roasted food, when somebody said mavushal, it included roasted food. And as the Mefarshim say, what's the Gemara teaching us? That if it's obviously somebody who's calling a roasted food mavushal is a person who's not that articulate in his speaking. Because somebody who's articulate is a little clearer. When he speaks about roast, he says roast. When he speaks about cook, he says cook. Teaches us the Gemara, if that's the way they speak in a location, there is a location that says that people, when they use the word mavushal, they're not that exact, and they call tzli also mavushal, then if somebody made a nether that he's not allowed to eat mavushal, he would not be allowed to eat roasted food. But now ask the Gemara, Rabbi Ishia brought a pasuk. So now it has nothing to do with the pasuk. It has to do with how people speak. Says the Gemara, v'akra nasav, he brought a pasuk. What's the point of the pasuk? Says the Gemara, snachta ba'alma. So the Mefarshim speak at great length. Everybody's agreeing that we follow Lashon B'nai Adam. So is the Lashon HaTorah at all relevant in determining what is included and not included in your nether? And the Paiskim, the Rishonim, say a few rules. One rule they say is as follows. Let's say we don't know how to understand what you meant. So there we could use the Lashon HaTorah to help us determine what was meant in the words you said. Another example is, let's say somebody says a nether, and as part of what he says, he stipulates that I want my nether to be based on the way the Torah uses the words, it would be a nether. The third point that they make is, let's say here in the United States, we speak English. So if we speak English, and a nether is made in English, so we follow the Lashon B'nai Adam. Whatever people use the word cooked foods, when you speak about cooked foods, you include roast, then roast aren't included. If you don't include roast, it's not included. But let's say I'm here in the United States, and I say the nether not in English, I say the nether in Lashon Kodesh. Since I did not use the language of the country where the nether is being expressed, I said it in Lashon HaKodesh. There we follow the Lashon HaTorah. And therefore, let's use an interesting example based on our Gemara. If roast and cooked are not the same, so were I to say the nether in English, that I'm making a nether, I'm not going to eat cooked foods, I would be allowed to eat a roast. But if I, on the other hand, here in America, when I expressed my nether, said, I'm making a nether in a mavushal, so I used Hebrew, and Rav Oishi approved that in the Torah, tzli is included in the category of mavushal, I would not be allowed to eat roast. Continues the Gemara. Karnim tafshel. If I said that I'm not going to eat a tafshel, so the Mishnah differentiated between a food that has a loose composition versus a food that has a solid composition. Ask the Gemara from a tafshel nader. I made a nether, I'm not going to eat cooked food. How does the Gemara differentiate? How does the Mishnah differentiate between foods with a loose composition versus a hard composition? Amar Abaya, high tana kom midi de mis'achel be rifta tafshel karolei. He says that it's only considered a tafshel if it's eaten with bread. And only foods that are loose are eaten together with bread. Otherwise, it's not eaten with bread. Vatanya, this Vatanya is not a kasha, Tanya is a raya. It says in a brisa, hanoidim of tafshel. If somebody says that he's not going to benefit from a tafshel, the loch is also b'chomi in a tafshel. He may not eat any tafshel. V'asa b'tzli, u'mavsholik, he's not allowed to eat roasted food, sholik foods, mavushel. V'asa b'hitriyos rakos, and he may not eat these soft squash, shachoylen oichel behem piten. Because if it's soft, it's eaten with bread, and that's in the category of tafshel, otherwise not. Ask the Gemara, how could the Gemara say that sick people eat squash? For Rav Yirmiyah Cholish, Rav Yirmiyah got ill. Ola gabei ha'u asa lasyua. So a doctor came to visit him. Chazak koro de machas v'beisi, and he saw that there was squash in his home. Shafka v'nafka. So he just didn't even spend the time examining him. Omar, Malach Moisa Isla L'dein B'beisei. This person has the Malach Mavis in his home. Squash is extremely detrimental to an individual who's sick. V'na Ela L'yasei. And he thinks I could heal him. If he's eating squash, I can't do anything for him. So here we see that squash is not good for a chayla. And here we're saying that chaylim, sick people, eat squash. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Haber kiki haber shuni. Soft squash is good for a sick person. Hard squash is not. Rabar ulama. Haber kara gufe. Haber gava de kara. He says there's a difference between the outside of the squash. The outside of the squash is not good for a ill person. The inside of the squash is good. Damar Yehuda. Leluiva de kara. The silka, the inside of a squash that's prepared together with leek, leluva the kitna bekutcha, and the inside of flax seeds that's prepared together with kutach. Many times in Shas we find kutach. Kutach was a type of a dip that they made out of sour milk and moldy bread. Is good for a sick person. However, v'davaza osel amr b'fnei amaretz. You should not tell amaretz about this refuah, that it's good for a sick person to eat these foods. And there are many reasons why the Rishonim explain the Gemara says you shouldn't tell this to an Amoritz. The Ran explains, if you'll tell an Amoritz how healthy flaxseed is, so they'll start taking flax seeds from everywhere, from people have a flax field, and they'll start stealing the flax seeds because it's good for health. So that's why I don't tell the Amoritz. Others explain that since, interesting pshat that I saw, everybody knew that flax seeds and the inside of squash are very healthy. If an Amoritz will be told that our Gemara teaches this then, they'll say that we have to come to the Daf Yomi Shir to learn. Everybody knows that. And therefore, it's better that he shouldn't know it's in the Gemara. Another pshat that the Chassam Sofer explains is that our Gemara is being very, very careful. The Gemara is saying it's not just like flaxseed is good. It has to be prepared in a certain way. It's not just squash is good. It has to be prepared in a certain way. We can't be sure that the Amoritz is going to prepare it in the prescribed way. And since we can't be sure that the Amoritz is going to prepare it in the prescribed way, we have to be concerned. We have to be concerned that the Amoritz will not prepare it and then not get healthy. Better not to tell him anything in the first place. There's a very interesting pshat from the Ragachover related to Shemitah. He says there's a Mishnah in Masechet Klayim that says that even though we know that taking food, fruit, produce from an Amoritz in the Shemitah year is a problem because we have to be concerned that he's doing prohibited labor on the Shemitah field, we don't have to worry about flaxseed. Because they don't plant flaxseed for food. But now, says the Ragachover, if they're going to find out that flaxseed has these health benefits, they're going to start planting and working with flaxseed in the Shemitah year so that people, because they're going to eat it. So till now, we were able to take flaxseeds from the Amoratzim. Once they learn this Gemara, we won't be able to take flaxseeds from the Amoratzim and Shemitah. So better they shouldn't know. Rav Amar, Rav says a different pshat. Ma Chaylim, Rabbonim. Rava says, actually, squash is not good for a sick person. But Talmid Chacham, as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, are considered weak people. And since Talmid Chacham are considered weak, they're not sick. They're just weak. For them, squash is good. And that's what it was meant, that squash is eaten by people who are sick. It means Talmid Chacham, because as we know, Talmid Chacham are considered weak because Torah Mateshas Koicha Shel Adam. Torah makes us weak. Because Rava Tamei. Dama Rava. Rava says, "Kaman matzlinon." When we daven, says Rava, we're supposed to daven a kitzri amari on sick people. Kitzri means sick people. Mari means weak people. Kaman kreb yosi. We'll explain this in a moment. Midam a kitzri mari. Since Rava speaks about sick people and weak people, shmami no. What do we need two words to describe the same thing? It must be kitzri. Sick people means kitzri mamish, people who are sick. Mari means the rabbonon who are weak. Because the term attaches koicha shel adam. So Gemara says that we daven for sick people because it's like Rav Yosi.
What does the Gemara mean that it's like Rabbi Yossi? The Gemara we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin. A very fundamental machloikis Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Odom nidoin b'kol yoim. Every day we come to judgment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since we come to judgment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, says Rava, since we come to judgment every day, says Rava, we have to daven every day to be healthy. The Rabbanan, that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, holds Adam Nidim Rosh Hashanah. We judge them Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Rava, who says now we daven every day to be healthy, follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says that we're judged every day. So the Rishonim ask the obvious question. If according to the Rabbanan, we're judged every day, if according to the Rabbanan, we're judged once a year, I'm sorry, so then why do we say every day in the Shemoneh Esrei, Rafeinu? And why do we say every day in Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Aleinu? It's already too late. The judgment took place on Rosh Hashanah, and it is what it is. So the Rishonim give two answers. One answer that I saw the Rishonim gives is that every individual is judged according to Rabbanan at the beginning of the year on Rosh Hashanah. However, if one puts himself and places himself as part of the general community of Klal Yisrael, then that specific ruling that applied to him could be overridden. When we say Rifa'enu, when we daven for Chayla, we always say B'soich Shar Chayla Yisrael. To daven as a community, even the Rabbanan say, that we could be Mispala every day. Another teretz that I saw the Rishonim give is, yes, the Rabbanan hold that a person at the beginning of the year is designated if Chas V'Shalom he should be sick. But the Rabbanan agree that even though it's designated he should be sick, it's not definitely designated how long he should be sick for. And what we could accomplish without tefillah, even according to Rabbanan, is if somebody does Chas V'Shalom become sick, the tefillah could help that he should get over his disease very quickly. Umut ba'ava. So our Mishnah said, there's a difference between cereal or foods that are produced with loose, that they consider tafshel, they're eaten with bread, versus foods that have a thick composition, they're not eaten like with bread. It says the Gemara Masnisim to like Bavloi. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the custom that took place in Bavel. Dom Rav Zeir, Bavloi tapshilei. The Bavloi are foolish people. The achmi lachma belachma. They eat bread with thick porridge. So thick porridge is made out of wheat, made out of grain. Bread is made out of grain. So Pasha Peshat in the Gemara is that to eat two foods together that are one and the same is not smart. In other words, if you're going to take two different minim, you're going to take bread and put on top of it peanut butter. So peanut butter and bread are not the same. But to take bread and put on a thick porridge, it's one and the same. I saw a very cute fart. The Gemara says that Avira da Ara, the environment of Eretz Yisrael Machkim, makes people smart. The Gemara also says that the Eitz Hadas that Adam HaRishon ate from was Chita. So in Eretz Yisrael, people are smart. That's part of being Eretz Yisrael. So since people are smart, it's enough if they eat bread, or they eat cereal. That they're eating one food made out of grain, and that's adequate that they should have intelligence, because they already start off in a much stronger position. Bavloi atapshoi. People who don't live in Eretz Yisrael are naturally tapshim. So they need more seichel. So they have to eat both bread and cereal. Says the Gemara. Amar Chizda. The mashup lahoim lahanin nakdinim the hutzel. I used to ask these people, nakdinim, the Rishonim explain, are people who are experts in food. Hadein daisa. Hechen mali lemechla. What's the proper way of eating porridge? The chita belachma the chita. Should one eat porridge made out of wheat with bread made out of wheat? Or the sari and cereal made out of barley, belachma the sari with bread made out of barley? Or idoma the chiti with the sari? Or it's better to eat wheat cereal with barley bread? Or the sari barley cereal bechiti with wet bread? Says the Gemara, Ravel achl b'chassisi. Rebbe used to eat bread with chassisi. Chassisi is specially a type of wheat that was roasted, and the type of roasting made it have a very sweet taste. So it was a very delicious meichel to eat bread with this sweet cereal on it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Ashkechel Rav Huna, Rabbi Rav Huna met Rav Huna, the ka'ochel daisa betzbasa. He was eating porridge with his fingers. Omalei amai ka'ochel ma biyode. Why are you eating with your fingers? Omalei hocham rav, daisa betzbasa bosom. It's much tastier when you eat it with your fingers. The kol dekem betartan, certainly if you eat it with two fingers. The kol dekem betlas, if you eat it with three fingers, it's even better. Omalei rav l'chi b'rei. V'kein omalei Rav Huna l'rav b'rei. Mezanin l'cha l'meichel daisa. If you're invited to eat a meal where they're serving porridge at parsa, it's worth walking up to a parsa to enjoy that meal. L'meichel b'osr de tura. If you're invited to a meal where axe meat is being served, walk at tlosa parsa. Walk three parsa. That's the pshat of the Ran. Other mefarshim explain the Gemara as follows. If you eat cereal, it's such a healthy food that it will sustain you the amount of time it takes to walk a parsa. If you eat axe meat, it's even more nutritious and will sustain you the amount of time it takes to walk three parsa. Amalei Rav L'chibere, V'kan Amalei Rav Huna L'rabbere, Kol Midim L'Tiflet Kamei Rabach. If somebody has saliva that accumulates in his mouth, it's inappropriate to expel it in front of his Rebbe. L'bam in Kar V'daisa. Besides squash and cereal, Shein Domin L'Psilta Shel Eiver. It's like melted lead. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that if somebody, Rechman Tzlon, is Mechuyiv Sreifa, how did they administer the Sreifa? They used to pour lead into the person. And this saliva is like that. V'filu Kamei Shvar Malka Ploit. And therefore, even if you're standing in front of the king, Shvar Malka is the king of Persia. Others say Shvar Malka is another way of saying Shmuel, the great Amayra Shmuel, where of course one has to act with great respect. Still, expelling this saliva is a question of health, and you should expel it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Chad Ochel Daisa Betzbasei, one ate cereal with his fingers, the Chad Ochel Behutza, and one ate it with the bark of a tree. And like the Ben Yoyod explains, since as we're going to see in a moment, each of the other individuals felt that the other one was acting inappropriately, not with proper manners, the Gemara doesn't identify who ate which way. The one that ate it with his bark said to the one that ate it with his fingers, under the fingernails there's sometimes dirt. So if the person is sticking his fingers into the pot, into the serving plate, he's getting that dirt into the serving plate. So the person eating with the fingers said to the person that's eating with the bark, at masay at mechleni roikach. He took the bark of the tree, this piece of wood, stuck it into the serving plate, ate, and then put it right back into the serving plate with the germs of his mouth on that bark. So the Mefarshim explained the Gemara. They say as follows. The person who ate with his fingers, he couldn't put his fingers back in every time he put food into his mouth because his fingers were dirty. It was impossible to. So every time he would wash his fingers. So it wasn't a problem that the fingers were dirty. The only problem was the dirt under the fingernails. The person that was eating it with the bark of a tree was not eating it with a regular spoon. A regular spoon you could use to take the food out, put into your mouth, and then afterwards wash the spoon. But here we have a concern that the spoon, that this is just a piece of wood, very flimsy, and we're going to keep on washing it, it's going to just break. And that's why he kept on reusing it without washing it. There are mefarshim that want to use this Gemara to say that the Shulchan Aruch is very strict about the halacha of washing mayim achronim. That perhaps this Gemara proves that nowadays we don't have to be so strict. Because our Gemara shows, they say, that they used to eat with their fingers, or they used to eat with these crude utensils. So in those circumstances, you have to wash mayim achronim. But we, who hopefully eat with a fork and a spoon like we're supposed to, and a knife, perhaps we don't have to wash mayim achronim. Others say this was an extraordinary situation that they were using the fingers or the bark. even in those times, everybody ate with silverware, and yet the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch teach us that you have to wash Mayim Achrayinim. And just so saying that you eat with silverware should be a reason that you don't have to wash Mayim Achrayinim is unacceptable. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Eisel Kamei Belufsin. Certain type of fig was brought to them. Rabbi Yehuda Ochel, Rabbi Yehuda ate, Rabbi Shimon Loi Ochel, Rabbi Shimon didn't eat. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, my time Loi Ochel Ma, why don't you eat? Amar Rabbi Shimon, Elu Ein Yoitzim Bnei Ma'ayim Kalikar. They remain in the system. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Koshkein, Shinismach Aleim. It's certainly something that I want to eat. Why? Because as we're going to see in the Gemara in a moment, Rabbi Yehuda was very poor. So he appreciated eating foods that lasted long because he couldn't afford to eat meals on a regular basis. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Avi Yosef Kamei Rav Tarfon. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Rav Tarfon. Amar Rav Tarfon, Hayoyim Panecha Tzuhuvim. Your face is glowing. Amalei, Emesh Yotza Avadech L'Sada. Yesterday, your servants went out to the field. Ve'vilon Utardim. They brought us beets. Ve'chalnum B'loy Melech. And we ate them without salt. Ve'chalnum B'melech, how we eaten them with salt. Koshkin Shayu Pneinu Tzuhuvim. Beets eaten with salt is a very healthy food. It makes the face glow. And as Mefarshim explained to Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda was poor. He said, I can normally not afford to eat beets. But because your servants, you, Reb Tarfon, were wealthy, and your servants went out to collect for you beets, so they had an abundance of beets, so I was able to get some beets, and that's why my face was glowing. Continues the Gemara. There was a noble woman that said to Reb Yehuda, Mara Varavi, you're a Mara Hira, you pask in Shilas, you teach Torah, Varavi, and you're shikr, you're drunk, you're intoxicated, again, because his face was glowing. Amalei, I could swear, I never drink wine. The only time I drink wine is by Kiddush, by Avdolah, and by the four kaisers of Pesach. I have a headache from the wine that I drink by the Seder till Shavuos. Because I have Torah, somebody who's a Talmid Chacham, his face is glowing. So the Masha explains, Mara V'Ravi is a play on words on Mayri V'Rebi. A Talmud Chacham, a Rebbe, is called Mayri V'Rebi, and there was a play of words that she said, Mara V'Ravi. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that one should not say, based on this Gemara, that one may not use grape juice for the Dalek Kaisis. Because if Rabbi Yehuda had such a headache from drinking wine at the Dalek Kaisis that it lasted until Shavuos, he should have just drank grape juice. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, in those days, they didn't pasteurize the grape juice. So somebody squeezed grape juice. We know that grapes become ripe in the fall. Pesach is in the spring. There was never any grape juice available. There was no way of having preserved grape juice by the spring, by Pesach time. But it could well be, if they would have had grape juice, he would have used it. The Mefarshim and the Chedush Arim says a very interesting vart. He says, the Gemara says that his head hurt from Pesach until Shavuos. What's the concept, says the Chedush Arim, that it hurt, he had a headache until Shavuos? He says that the Gemara says that one of the things that remove the effects of being drunk, of being intoxicated, is pachad, being in fear. We know that the Torah was given the Eimah, B'yira, B'resh, B'zeyah. So he became drunk on Pesach. Shavuos is when there was Kabbalah Satira, and since there was Kabbalah Satira on Shavuos, that had the effect of removing the influence of the wine. So then I saw the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara says that when did he drink? Kiddush, Havdalah, Pesach. What about Purim? So some of Paiskim say from here you see that if a person can't drink on Purim, he shouldn't drink. The Gemara doesn't say you have to drink on Purim. Others say a very interesting teretz based on the Chedush Arim. The Gemara says that in Masechta Shabbos, that Peches, Hada Kiblu B'Meach HaShverosh, that by Purim, they were Makabel Torah again, Bahava. We just said that Kabbalah Satira causes the influence of the wine to go away. So on Purim, you could drink wine, and right away it'll have the effect of the Kabbalah Satira that happened on Purim, and that will take away the influence of the wine. I saw another Peshat HaPidrush. The Gemara here is connecting Pesach to Shavuos. What is the connection of Pesach to Shavuos? So the Mefarshim say, the Vision Tzerebbe says this pshat, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Tavnas l'kim al ha'arazeh. We have to recognize that the Exodus, the Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach, is all for the purpose of Shavuos, that we should be makabel the Torah. That was the entire reason we left Mitzrayim. Says the Gemara, Amlai hu tzedek l'Reb Yehuda, Penecha doimim, oy kemav le'ribis, oy kemagad le'chazirim. You look like a person that your face is glowing, so therefore you look like a person that makes money by lending money on interest or raising chazerim. And since these were very profitable businesses, whoever was in this business was wealthy and looked good. So he says, a Jew can't go into those professions. So I saw the Mefarshim ask a gevaldige kasha. A Jew's not supposed to go into those professions. And what happens if he did? He did. So just because Rabbi Yehuda says a Jew's not allowed to do it, that doesn't mean the Jew doesn't do. Do Jews always do what they're supposed to do? So I saw a beautiful vart. The Gemara says, Rishayim Malayin Charata. Rishayim lived their lives full of regret. Why do they live their lives full of regret? Because they're always regretting that they did an Avera. So he says, you may have a Jew that acts inappropriately. He's not supposed to raise chazerim, he raises chazerim. He's not supposed to lend money on interest, and he does. But he's not going to be a happy person. He's doing the wrong thing. And he'll always have a guilty conscience that he's doing the wrong thing, and it can't be that person's face is glowing. So, Ella, Esther Va'abba Besakisei, Islam Ibei Besei Abei Medrasha. There are 24 bathrooms between my home and the Beis Medrash. The Kol Shah B'Shah, and he nichnas l'kalech v'echad. So Farshim Pashup Shat is that he kept himself healthy by using the bathroom whenever he needed to. But it's a little difficult to understand who has to go to the bathroom every hour. A person has to go to the bathroom every hour is probably not that healthy. So he says like this, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying like this. There are people that spend their lives eating. They want delicious meals. And that becomes a goal and a purpose in their lives. Says of Yehuda, whenever I ate, I had in mind those bathrooms. Food isn't here to be a purpose of its own. It's something the person has to do because he has to sustain himself. What's important is the Bei Medrasha. That's what's important in life. And living my life, knowing, thinking, remembering that is what make my face glow. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda kar ozlo Bei Medrasha. Rabbi Yehuda, when we go to Beis Medrash, Shokul Gufei Al Ksefei, he would carry on his back a jug that he would sit on in yeshiva. I'm a gedolei malachas, malachas mechabdes balehel. Work is important. The person shouldn't be lazy. Rav Shimon Shokul Tzan Al Kasfei, Rav Shimon would carry on his back this jug and would say, gedolei malachas mechabdes balehel. So Mefarshim asked two questions and they give one answer. Here we see that Rav Shimon is the man, the Omer, Rav Shimon is the one that's carrying the jug. Ask the Mefarshim, Rav Shimon is the man, the Omer, that says in Masechta Brachos, Im Adam Charish B'Shas Charisha, if a person plows when he's supposed to plow, V'Zareya B'Shas Zareya, and he seeds when he's supposed to seed, Torah Matahela, what's going to be with Torah? Says Rav Shimon, a person should learn Torah and rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here we see that Rav Shimon's working. One question. Another question, Rav Shimon, the Gemara says that it's inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham to work in front of three people because it demeans the prestige and the stature of a Talmud Chacham. And here we see Rav Shimon schlepping a jug. So Farshim say that even Rav Shimon, who says you're not supposed to work, a Talmud Chacham is supposed to sit and learn and supposed to keep the prestige of a Talmud Chacham, that's only a regular job. But what he's doing is Laman, is for learning. That's permitted. What was he doing with this jug that he was carrying? He was going to use it as the seat that he's going to sit on the Beis Medrash. To do anything in order to be able to learn, Gedoy l'malecho, and you should do anything, because that mechabdes balea, doing anything to learn, brings us the greatest kavod and is the most important thing we can do.